Book of Daniel. Tenth chapter. In the third year of Cyrus, the king of Persia. Notice he's called the king of Persia, not the prince. In the third year of Cyrus, king of Persia, a thing was revealed unto Daniel, whose name was called Belteshazzar, and the thing was true. But the time appointed was long, and he understood the thing and had understanding of the vision. In those days I, Daniel, was mourning 3 full weeks. 3 full weeks. I ate no pleasant bread, neither came flesh nor wine in my mouth. Well, now, most people would admit that Daniel was a pretty good saint in the Old Testament. Give him credit. He stayed off wine 21 days. Three full weeks. Neither did I anoint myself at all till 3 whole weeks were fulfilled. I'm going to touch that one with a 40,000-foot pole. And in the 24th day of the first month, as I was by the side of the great river, which is Hiddekel, then I lifted up mine eyes and looked, and behold, a certain man clothed in linen, whose loins were girded with fine gold of Uphaz. His body also was like the beryl, and his face as the appearance of lightning, and his eyes as lamps of fire, and his arms and his feet like in color to polished brass, and the voice of his words like the voice of a multitude. I'd have said, there ain't going to be 21 minutes of my life that I don't take wine hereafter. There ain't no drunk in the world ever saw anything like that. No pleasant bread, no flesh, no wine for 21 days. And a character like that appears in front of you. That's enough to scare the liver out of you. Something wrong with the chemistry in my brain. I've been deprived for these 3 weeks. You know, I try to put a little flesh and Bible, flesh and blood in the Bible occasionally. How do people read past things like this and never see anything? How would you feel? Well, you know, you're pretty much into the Spirit right now. You're a very spiritual crowd. We've been singing these old hymns. How long would you stay in the seat you're in if you lifted up your eyes and behold a certain man clothed in linen, whose loins were girded with fine gold, body like beryl, and face the appearance of lightning, eyes as lamps of fire, and arms and feet in color to polished brass, and voice like the voice of a multitude? I don't think we got enough exit doors. Now, the trouble with most Christians, particularly the ones that don't go to this church, they don't really believe the Bible. They don't believe the Bible. They have no concept of this poor guy. He's off of bread, off wine, off meat for 3 weeks. 22nd day, just another one in the series. And this thing appears in front of him. And I, Daniel, alone saw the vision. For the men that were with me saw not the vision. Did you guys see that? Did you see that? You see that? Now, it'd be bad enough if this appearance was here. But as you're crawling all over everybody getting out, everybody says, what's the matter with you? Have you got to go real bad or what? I have a problem when I read the Bible. I start out assuming it means what it says. That's a real problem. Makes me different from all preachers. That was pretty swift. Hey, I'm the one that didn't have any sleep. Where's the rest of you? I, Daniel, alone saw the vision, for the men that were with me saw not the vision. All they did was just shake. Now, I see this being just described. You see this? No, I'm just shaking. I don't know why. And everybody's shaking, and I see this being. There are thousands listening to me that have read the Bible through at least 4, 5, 15 times maybe. Never even paused on this. Oh, you know, it's just everyday occurrence in the life of a man of God. People always shake around me. I'm the only one that can hold steady. They see nothing, they shake. I see something that ought to cause anybody to shake, I don't shake. These passages just bother me. Great quaking fell upon them, so they fled to hide themselves. Okay, let's play the scene out. You're the only one that sees this being. Everybody else shakes. They're shaking, and everybody in here just shaking. And they all get up and run for every exit. You're left. They're gone. You're left with this being. Now, if you can't believe that part of the chapter, why preach on the rest of it? I was left alone and saw this great vision. There remained no strength in me. For my vigor, literally. Now, I don't know how the King James people got comeliness out of vigor. My comeliness was turned in me into corruption, and I retained no strength. Yet heard I the voice of his words. And when I heard the voice of his words, then was I in a deep sleep on my face. Now, I want you to remember this being that caused everybody to quake who didn't see him and caused the man of God to fall on his face with his face toward the ground. Now, I've said this before. I get weary with the cheapening of spiritual things. I really get weary with people that are seeing angels up every tree, walking every aisle. There's a particular ministry on television that angels come down in every service. Cameramen are wearing the screws out on the machinery trying to find them. They're fast, man. They're fast. Then they're gone by the time you get there. Angels. Now, I know that they're going to be our servants in eternity, but I need a little warm-up for eternity before I start bossing them around. What do you think you'd really do if you saw an angel like this? Now, Daniel had, he's smart. Since he couldn't get out and the others were gone, he was there alone with that creature, he fell on his face. I mean, I surrender, friend. It ain't me, it's those shakers you want if you're mad. What I've been saying for years. Go get them. The revival meeting just left. The demonstrators are gone. Just me. On my face. Behold, a hand touched me. Now, you're down here on your face. and the hand touched me, which set me upon my knees, and upon the palms of my hands. And he said unto me, you don't believe this part? Why preach on the whole thing? All bunch of crap. I mean, if this is a lie, a guy can tell this bigger one, don't listen to anything he says. And he said unto me, oh, Daniel,
sir,
a man greatly beloved, understand the words that I speak unto thee and stand upright. For unto thee am I now sent. Me? And when he spoke this word unto me, I stood trembling. I want you to get the picture of this angel, because I'm going to give you a logical alternative in a minute or two. And there's only two alternatives. I don't have a very long sermon today. I have a prelude to next Sunday's sermon, and I'd like a little appreciation. Do you know that for three consecutive Sundays I've stayed on the same subject and moving? Of Antichrist. That's why I'm doing this. Now, get the picture of this angel. I stood trembling. Then said he unto me, fear not, Daniel, for from the first day that thou didst set thine heart to understand and to chasten thyself before thy God, thy words were heard, and I came for thy words. You mean, you started 3 weeks ago? When I first prayed, you, with body like beryl, face like lightning, eyes as lamps of fire, arms and feet polished brass, voice like a multitude. Get the idea. You ever heard Dodger Stadium begin to roar? This one person sounds like Dodger Stadium full, speaking all in unison. And you took 3 weeks to get here? Come on now, get into this scene. All the shakers are gone. I really think when I read Daniel, he's smart enough not to tell a lie like this. This is just too unbelievable to be unbelieved. Some things are really overkill. A good liar, you know, knows when he's reached the limit. A fish the size of the piano here might work, but the size of this house won't. You just can't even, you can't sell that. Thank the Lord, he delivered me from the spirit of exaggeration. I was so happy, I cried a bucket of tears. By the way, had an old fellow from Louisiana at the banquet last night. Said, I've been waiting for a long time to tell you this. You've been teaching on the pyramid, and that they discovered pi many centuries ago. Don't you know that pies are round? And cornbread is square. So don't go square and pie. Well, what's the point of that? There isn't any point. I just thought I'd fit it in right here. Between the pie and the cornbread. You took 3 weeks to get here? I mean, I could believe that, you know. Jerry Falwell's not as big as you. But he's got a Learjet, too. He can get here quicker than that. Jimmy Swaggart could walk and get here quicker than that. Tammy could just sing her message and we'd hear it. Don't wait, don't take 3 weeks to get here. Did you come American Airlines or Delta? Halfway on each. What kept you then? Looking at you, nothing could slow you down. How come it took 3 weeks? But the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 21 days. Well, now, the chapter opens saying Cyrus was king of Persia. Now, the liberals will tell you, and the demythologizers will tell you, there ain't no angels, and there ain't no demons. And if there's angels, there sure ain't no demons. The reason I beat this subject to death, do you really think that this being that made those who couldn't see him tremble and flee, and had the appearance that this angel had, Cyrus could hold him up 21 days? Now, the whole damn thing's a concoction, an absolute lie. If the king of Persia could hold him up, or we have just a mortal messenger coming out of somewhere that God gave a message to, but he's still lying, because mortal messengers don't look like this fellow. You're forced into a corner. And that's why I always say, if you're going to be a Christian, be one. If you're going to be a Jew, be one. You know, Judaism has to contend with the liberals as well as the Christians. This guy's either one terrible liar, or we got some strange goings on here. A being that can make those that can't see him tremble and flee, that to the one who sees him has an appearance so overwhelming as this, prince of the kingdom of Persia held him back? There's another one just like him. Michael, lo, Michael, verse 13, Daniel 10. One of the chief princes, literally the first of the chief princes, came to help me. Well, now we got a battle among princes here, and it's tautological, as we would say, in laws of logic. Either the princes or human princes, because they're using the name for Michael, and because he is the chief of the princes, he is therefore by analogy the first angel, that is, also calling himself a prince. So we have a prince appearing who heard Daniel's prayer 21 days earlier, who is withstood by the prince of Persia, unidentified as yet. And the prince of Persia is so powerful that this powerful being that is standing in front of Daniel, that those around Daniel can't see, so he's got himself the Philadelphia experiment down pat. He can make himself invisible. That ain't no small task either. Peter Popoff couldn't do that. Even Oral Roberts couldn't do that. Or his son. I bet Ken Copeland couldn't make his horse invisible.
Or does he? You're not awake today. You're getting there, but you're not there yet. I want you to get to see. I'm just camping out on you. Say, well, now don't get nervous. You may be thinking I'm going to preach a sermon when I finish this. This is it. This is it. It's all you get today. I'm looking for a concept to come through like the gap theory. That when it settles in, it'll be there in your mind forever. This being. Now, can I rule out going out the gate to Daniel's making all this up? If that's the choice you're going to make, he's lying, and it's an awful big one. Just might as well forget Daniel. He ain't going to teach us anything. But the prophecy I'm teaching and the prophecy that unfolds in the book of Revelation comes through Daniel. And the revelation of the 70 weeks to Daniel's people, the Jew, and to Daniel's city, Jerusalem, comes through Daniel. And this same Daniel describes a person who appears invisible to everybody else but makes him shake. When seen, has the appearance that Daniel describes, and that's why I have little sympathy for these people that talk about meeting angels. They look like little cupids. Cupid came out of mythology. Angels, if you expect to see one every day, I suggest you wear rubber pants. Does that make the point?
Yes, sir.
In fact, you should stand on waters in addition. See, I'm tired of Christianity being made look foolish by all these angel seers. I met an angel today on the way to work. What to do? Well, he talked to me. What'd you do? I said, hi there. These are fearsome characters. And this character says, I heard your prayer 21 days ago. But I met a character en route that resisted me. Now, that must have been one hell of a fight. And this character I met en route was so powerful, I couldn't whip him. It took Michael, the number one prince, to help me do this other prince in. And because Michael came, we were able to get him down long enough that I could finish my job, which I started out to do, which was get over here to tell you. You mean my prayers did all that? I mean, I could preach on praying at this point, too, if you pray the right way. Now, I was ready to swear on to wine forever when I first caught sight of the fellow. But as the truth begins to settle in, maybe swearing off wine's good. Because he's pretty effective. Lo, Michael, first of the chief princes. There must be princes and chief princes and then the big prince of the princes. Michael's the big chief. First of the chief princes came to help me. And I remained there with the... Now the word changed again. Kings of Persia. However, in the original, it didn't change like that. King James had to be literary and use variety words in the sentence. Still same prince. Now I'm come to make thee understand what shall befall thy people, Judah, in the latter days, for yet the vision is for many days. And when he had spoken such words to me, I set my face toward the ground and became dumb. Behold, one like the similitude of the sons of men touched my lips. Then I opened my mouth and spake and said unto him that stood before me, O my Lord, by the vision my sorrows are turned upon me, I have retained no strength. For how can the servant of this my Lord talk with this my Lord? For as for me, straightway there remained no strength in me, neither is there breath left in me. Then
there came again and touched me one like the appearance of a man, and he strengthened me and said, O man greatly beloved, fear not. Peace be unto thee. Be strong, yea, be strong. And when he had spoken unto me, I was strengthened and said, Let my Lord speak, for thou hast strengthened me. Then said he, Knowest thou wherefore I come unto thee? Now will I return to fight with the prince of Persia. This astounding being, invisible to all save Daniel, yet causing shaking on all save Daniel. Withstood by a prince, so-called of Persia, yet this powerful being cannot whip that character that withstands him, and needs the chief of all the princes, the first of all the princes, Michael, to help him. And Michael is apparently staying there fighting the guy or the being. But now this angel, having delivered his message. Now catch the scene. Daniel prayed to God. Some of you think, well, if God is so powerful, why does he let these things happen? Why doesn't he make American fly right? And Delta fly right? American and Delta fly right. Why doesn't he do it? Why? Well, just put yourself in the place of this powerful being, capable of being invisible. Now, I've really longed for that power on the freeway. I would like to drive an invisible tank here in Los Angeles. What I could do with an invisible tank here in Los Angeles. This being capable of being... I picked you to go now because you got this quality of making yourself invisible. You got a scary appearance. You can make people shake that don't see you. And God said to him, I've heard Daniel's prayer. You go down there and tell Daniel the answer to his prayer. Sir. And this barrel-colored lightning, blazing lance, appearing, frightening being, sets out through the heavenlies to get to Daniel. He zooms in, flying saucer or no, honing in on Persia to go to Daniel's house. And the prince of the power of the air, Lucifer, has assigned a prince over Persia to empower that earthly ruler, who says, here he comes to answer Daniel's prayer, and blocks his way. And the angel says, what the hell is going on? God sent me. He didn't send me to fight this creature. I'm going back and see if God knows he's here. I mean, be the angel now for a moment. We've been Daniel. If you wanted me to send the messenger, the message to Daniel, why didn't you take care of idiot boy down here in Persia? He's tough. He has no principles. He doesn't fight fair. And he has no respect for you. Why don't you clear the way? After all, I'm carrying your message. I'm sent by you. I'm doing the will of God. When I became a king's house, you had an obligation unto me. I didn't join up for war. I joined up for blessing. I got my blessing packed. Oral Robertson, his boy, even turned me on.
I get mail every week from the moral majority. Don't you read it? Look over my shoulder. Get on with the message. He gets the mail too. He even contributes. When you see him, he may be wearing a fish hook. And look out for them Jerusalem rocks. He may have a strong arm. He got points. I'm beating it to death. He had his assignment from God. He was a courier on a battlefield. And he came into the territory that belonged to the prince of Persia. We're not talking about Cyrus. That's the logical choice. There ain't no way that this messenger was a human being. We're talking about a supernatural being sent from God. An angel, because that's the name you give the supernatural princes that are on God's side. But because man had given over this earth to the prince of the power of the air, and a third of heaven's angelic beings rebelled and went with Satan when he was cast down, these princes are none other than previous angels or messengers, which is the meaning of the word, that now exist to oppose God's work and to keep the territory that they have limited domain over. And when this angel came to get to Daniel, he came to a war zone. And he couldn't win. You think you can win by yourself? And I think I can win with the front. I can't even handle my own arms and get results. Get the equipment here. And they're just mere human beings. We fight, Paul said, against principalities and power, wickedness in high places. And there is an angel. And in this hierarchy of warfare in the supernatural realm, there are some on the evil side that are mighty tough critters, and one-on-one combat can whip any one of the majority of the angels that serve God in heaven. But there are some angels that stayed with God that can whip any of them, including Lucifer himself. God doesn't even have to do the job by himself. That's what I like. What I like is, I know Jesus can whip him. God can sure whip him. What gives me comfort is, God's got a few angels that by themselves can whip anything Satan throws at us. And Michael is going to ultimately, in the book of Revelation, whip Satan himself as of this hour. Just as in the book of Job, Satan, fallen though he may be, has access to the counsels of heaven, and every benefit God tries to give to us, the accuser of the brethren is there to challenge it. And when Moses died, you have the enigmatic passage that Lucifer and Michael fought over the body of Moses. This, by the way, is the one passage that proves that the revelation, and to my historicists and prophecy, let me lay this one on you. The historicists and prophecy say that the book of Revelation description of Michael being turned loose to throw Satan out of the heavenlies, and the squalling cry of Lucifer when he is limited to just this earth for a season, and the heavens sing with joy because he can't come there anymore, and woe to the earth because he's limited to do his dirt here, the historicists say that's the original fall of Satan. This one passage blows that theory. Because Moses, when he died, Lucifer and Michael fought over the body of Moses, the scripture says. Michael won, but he durst not give a railing accusation against Satan. He said, "The Lord rebuke thee," as he won the contest for the body of Moses. If Revelation had already occurred and Michael had defeated Satan, he'd have kicked his asteroid off the hill and taken Moses and cursed him. But he wasn't yet free. God runs by certain covenant arrangements, and I don't know all of his covenants in the heavenlies. I know the one that he made where in the councils of heaven when man was conceived, the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world offered himself as God's fail-safe program to stand in for us in our sins. But Lucifer still has access and is the prince of the power of the air. And when God sent this angel by himself couldn't handle the evil prince of Persia. And Michael had to come, the chief, the number one of the chief princes, who will be the one in the book of Revelation, which I'm leading up to, not today, but later as I lay the groundwork, will be the one that will fight in the heavens and limit Lucifer for a season in that last 3.5 years. And the diagram I put on the board previous Sunday, Satan will be limited to this earth. God help those that are here. And he knows his domain has been crunched down. In this case, the angel couldn't hit the prince of Persia. And the prince of Persia was not Satan. He was one of his evil lieutenants. Michael had to come and help him. The two of them were able to free the gap for the angel to go to Daniel and deliver the message. Now he says, "I will return," verse 20, "to fight with the prince of Persia." Well, man, why don't you just pray? "To fight with the prince of Persia. And when I'm gone forth from there, lo, the prince of Grecia shall come." Now we have to assume that the prince of Grecia is also an evil angel. An evil angel was the prince of Persia, people. Now, another evil prince, Prince of Grecia, is going to move into the vacuum when Michael and this angel beat the living daylights out of him. "But I will show thee," he says, "that which is noted in the scripture of truth, and there's none that holdeth with me in these things but Michael, your prince." This angel, battle-scarred, is like a warrior that pierced the battle lines. And he says, "I'm going to show you some things, Daniel, about your people that you prayed for. And there is none, absolutely none, in the princely realm of angels that holdeth with me, fight shoulder to shoulder, that I can count on to fight these demons against your people, but Michael, your prince." Now, there are people that, because I try to emphasize the promises to Israel, think I neglect the Jew. Like it or lump it, the Jew has the number one prince fighting for them. Well, we have Christ, though. That's true. That elevates us into him. But when it comes to angels, the Jews have the top of the heap. And this angel says, "There's nobody helps me in these battles, Daniel. I'm going to go back now. We're going to fight this prince of Persia. And when we finish with him, he's gone. We're going to do him in. This old boy shouldn't have given us the problem. I had to get my message to you. That's the job God gave me. But now, me and Michael are going to wipe the earth of him. And when we're gone, we're going to do in this guy that challenged us. Vacuum will be left. All's going to be left. And you remember I taught you, the Medo-Persian Empire suddenly lost its power. Nothing could stand against it. Then all of a sudden, it lost its power. Now, when we're gone into that vacuum, comes the Prince of Grecia. And none could withstand the power of Alexander the Great. He moved with such rapidity, it's still the amazement of historians what this barely 30-year-old general could accomplish. Prince of Grecia. He had supernatural endowment, possession by this prince that gave him power. When he is broken off the notable horn, the kingdom continues with his generals, as we preached last Sunday. But the Bible is very specific, not in his power. Because the Prince of Grecia is going to be gone. And in his place will come the Prince of Rome, against whom Greece, led by human generals, without the demonic empowerment or endowment of that invisible Prince of Greece that takes the place of the Prince of Persia when these two angels do him in. We're fighting against principalities and powers. Now, also, having said only Michael stood with me, there's no chapter and verse in Daniel. Just scratch out 11, except for reference point. He's still talking, the angel. Also, I, the angel, in the first year of Darius the Mede, even I stood to confirm and to strengthen him. Right in the margin. First verse of chapter 11, I is the same angel who brought the message to Daniel. To strengthen him is Michael. He, in essence, has said, I couldn't have got to you, Daniel, if Michael, the chief one, the head honcho of the princes, both evil and good, came to help me. Now I go back and me and Michael are going to wipe up and do away with the prince of Persia. And when we're gone, the Prince of Grecia will come because a vacuum's created. Now, Michael's helping me because there was a time during the days of Darius, this angel says, that I helped Michael. Do you realize what that's implying? Michael was up against demon odds that he alone couldn't handle, the one that can whip Lucifer. And this angel had to help him. Now, what's the point? It's a simple logical alternative. These are either supernatural beings or they're not. And no stretch of imagination and no distortion of text can credit humanity to this activity. Therefore, either Daniel's lying or we are having described invisible, except when they choose to make themselves visible to a particular person, supernatural beings that rule behind earthly kingdoms and give them power. And that's why Paul said, weapons of our warfare cannot be carnal. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and power. And that is why I say that the beast that empowers Antichrist, don't look for a little boy with glazing blue eyes or blazing blue eyes. That's not, there are people looking for Antichrist in the world today, 6 or 7 years old, and looking out windows and blowing up banks, burning his little sister in a crib with a look of his eyes, and giving his father leprosy if he tries to abuse him, just with a look. Antichrist, in his beginning, is a very ordinary man who will come to power, and when he comes to power, he will simply be a man. Nothing but a man. But somewhere along in his reign, a beast will be loosed out of the bottomless pit. Now, what comes out of the bottomless pit? Let's try one. 9th chapter of Revelation. The 5th angel sounded, and I saw a star fall from heaven unto the earth, and to him was given the key to the bottomless pit. Now, if this bottomless pit, just by chance, there ain't no such thing as a bottomless pit. All the Greek says is abyss. Will you scratch out bottomless pit when it's written in the Bible and write abyss? We have an English word abyss that's a cognate of the Greek word abyss, and that's the word here. To put abyss, not bottomless pit. Having the key to the abyss. Wouldn't it be interesting if the abyss is the Bermuda Triangle? If these kinds of characters are kept there by the power of God, they must be releasing some forces. He opened the bottomless pit, and there rose a smoke out of the pit. We know this abyss is on the earth somewhere. And smoke will come out of it. And there rose a smoke out of the pit as the smoke of a great furnace, and the sun and the air were darkened by reason of the smoke of the abyss. And there came out of the smoke locusts upon the earth. And unto them was given power. Power. As the scorpions of the earth have power. Verse 11, they had a king over them, which is the angel of the abyss, whose name in the Hebrew tongue is Abaddon, but in the Greek tongue has his name Apollyon. I said to the sixth angel now, verse 14, loose the four angels which are bound in the great river Euphrates. Isn't that interesting? Do you suppose that one of those four angels bound at the great river Euphrates is that prince of Grecia, or rather that prince of Persia, tied up when that angel went back, Michael and him did him in, and created the vacuum for the angel or prince of Greece to come? Four angels were loose, which were prepared for an hour and a day and a month and a year for to slay the third part of men. Now that's what comes out of the abyss. That's what's been chained in the territory of the river Euphrates, where Iraq and Iran are doing all their fighting today. Now, chapter 13. A beast will come out of the bottomless pit. And that beast out of the bottomless pit is going to enter into Antichrist and possess him. And as that beast comes into him, he will be empowered, as was the king of Persia until the prince of Persia left that was empowering that heathen king. He will be empowered as Alexander the Great was empowered and had a dominion that enabled him to conquer the then known world. And when he died, that power that Alexander had was gone because the prince of Grecia was taken from the scene of earthly battles as the prince of Persia was taken and the prince of Rome would come. Now let me say it. Prove it to you next Sunday. I only wanted one concept to come through today. We're dealing with supernatural beings. You got it? The beast that was not in John's day, but was before John's day, is not in John's day, but will be again at the time of the end and will be Antichrist, is none other than that angel evil prince that was when he empowered Alexander the Great, is not in John's day, for he is bound, not yet loosed, but will be again in the kingdom of Antichrist because he'll be released to possess Antichrist and give him supernatural power to rule on this earth. That is the ruler wounded in the head that rises again. Don't look for an earthly ruler, as I've said, and an attempted assassination. Understand we are dealing with a beast that is supernatural, who has the capacity to invade and possess with demonic possession a king that will become, through the power of the beast, Antichrist, to set up his final rule. And he can only be brought down when Jesus comes to bring him down. But before that power is invested in him, we'll be gone. That's the good news. I'll see you next Sunday.